Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. In the studio, we have Craig Sawyer, who's the founder of
Veterans for Child Rescue.
There you go. And on the telephone, we have Eric Bauer, who's an attorney up in Tacoma, Washington, who was very instrumental in getting Backpage taken down and was featured in the movie I Am Jane Doe. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Well, good morning, Sherry. How are you doing? I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about the Maxwell Epstein situation. And I know I wanted to get both your opinions on what's going on. This isn't on our jurisdiction, so we can just speculate. And I was going over a lot of the documents when they said that they released a treasure trove of information regarding the case. And I didn't find it all that impressive. This treasure trove is missing a lot of information. Eric, did you read everything?
I've gone through that. Yes, I have. And it is missing some information for sure. And a lot of what I read, we'd all read in news accounts previously anyway. There was very little startling new news in that. A couple of nuggets were there for sure, but as a whole, it looked like it had already been disclosed.
It did, and one of the things I was thinking, because it seems to have fallen off the front page, do you think it's possible they're doing another backdoor deal like they did in, what was it, 07?
I'm not thinking that that's happening right now. I'm hoping it's not happening. There are some weird things going on, though. The case is being prosecuted in New York, in the Manhattan District, in federal court. And, that district has long been pretty progressive and pretty upfront about charging into these high-profile cases that actually involve Donald Trump. And this is another case where, the ties between Trump and Epstein are pretty legendary at this point. So, at this time of year, right before the election and all of that, what's going on there? It's really interesting. I don't know what's going on there. There's been an effort to remove the head prosecutor in that district by Attorney General Barr, who has certainly not hesitated to insert himself into the political structure of what's going on with prosecutions in the U.S. Attorney's Office. So, it's really interesting to watch and to see where this thing goes. I mean, we've got some really interesting timing. The politics are right through the roof, and it's a really hot and important topic. I mean, child sex trafficking is horrendous. It's incredibly prevalent, and Jeffrey Epstein was the center of, all these ultra elite people that, were very much engaged in taking advantage of young girls, through Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. I mean, that's my view of it right now.
Well, for people who don't realize it, Jeffrey Epstein, at any time somebody went to any of his residences, whether you were in the bathroom, the bedroom, the kitchen, no matter where you were being filmed. And he kept these films. That's why he could say, I own the city of New York. I own these people, because he's got the evidence that could expose them.
And that may have been how he accumulated it as well. And there's been some indications that he was actually working with the CIA. And maybe he was. Who knows? I mean, it gets deep pretty quick. And with all that data and hidden cameras everywhere, geez. Secret Service agencies throughout the world have long called these honey traps. And it's just a way that they can get compromising information on important figures, politicians, diplomats, really rich people, military figures, all of that. The KGB, the CIA, all of them. It's a commonly used tool of their trade. And blackmail's pretty, it's important stuff. It's an ugly business, but the realities of it need to be acknowledged.
I understand, this was in the news, I think it was last week, that Barr is actually going to represent Trump in a personal lawsuit. Did you read about that?
I did. It's really incredibly crazy. I mean, he seems to be bending, doing backflips to insulate Trump from everything and anything. Really unusual. There's been a hue and cry about that, and he's acting like his personal attorney almost, and utilizing the power and the might of the highest prosecuting authority in our country to insulate the president from, you know, these kinds of lawsuits. And it's pretty unusual. And Trump certainly should have enough money to afford his own attorney. So it's the whole power thing that is...
I don't think really he has an attorney. His attorney's in jail, isn't he? Isn't Michael Cohen in jail?
I think he got out due to the coronavirus, but I don't think he's practicing law anymore. And, you know, he was the guy that was fixing all the non-disclosure agreements with, you know,
the catch and kill stories.
Yeah, all of that. I mean, it's it just goes on, and you start looking at all the smoke out there, and you realize there's fire for sure. I mean, why wouldn't there be? That's the interesting thing about sex cases in general. Sex typically takes place in private, and typically there aren't any witnesses. So you utilize all the surrounding circumstances to put together your case. That together with the testimony of the victim. And does the testimony of the victim sync with all the other circumstantial evidence surrounding what she's saying? Because otherwise it's just, you know, he said, she said. So you look at the character of the accused, you look at past conduct, you look at whether this is part of a common scheme or plan that the accused does. Is it common? I mean, has he done this in the past? Is this part of a pattern of living that he engages in? Is this serial child rape? I mean, what's going on? And you know, it's in the end, it's common sense, but you need to look at it. You can't ignore it.
Yeah, if he's got flight logs and videotapes, because when they went and served the search warrant on his house, there was a lot of evidence, a lot of things that were removed from the house. So somebody told him that, you know, this is happening, clean up, do whatever you need to do, get rid of whatever it is you need to get rid of. You know, computers were missing. And I just think it's so sad that we've got like Prince Andrew and Dershowitz and some of the other people. I mean, she couldn't remember the name of the King of Spain, but some of the people that have been involved in this that are on that level, and I think Craig can talk to that, you know, it's, they all should be in jail. I mean, this is unacceptable. I mean, the law, if I did what Maxwell did, I would be in jail right now. I wouldn't see the light of day, but that's Maxwell. So maybe they're going to.
And she is in jail, and you know, reading through that indictment, you read where the accusations involve conduct extending back into the early 90s. And so we are talking about really essentially
decades.
Three decades of child molestation, child rape, grooming, sex trafficking, trafficking of minors. And that is a lot of time. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of conduct. And as you were saying, there's just this treasure trove. Somebody has a lot of film out there, and somebody has a lot of still photographs. And all you really need to do to understand the importance of that is look at the famous photograph of Prince Andrew with his arm around Virginia Roberts Guthrie. I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name, but the 15-year-old victim. And here he has there's Ghislaine Maxwell in the photograph. She's smiling. He's got his hand around this 15-year-old girl. His hand is right on her bare midriff. And, yeah, it's a very intimate place to put your hands.
Yeah, if you don't know the person, that's a casual person. You know, you don't do that. You don't do that.
Right. And she says, well, yeah, he had sex with me. And does it make sense looking at that picture that that occurred? Well, absolutely it does. You know, it's just really powerful corroborating evidence. And, you know, you really need to look at that.
And the fact that these girls could tell them, you know, describe the inside of these homes, all of them, not just one of them. Describe the homes, tell them where things are located, and, you know, they lived there as prisoners, sex slaves, but, you know, they knew.
And they're just spot on, and they're spot on with it. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. And for example, why would a 15-year-old girl name Alan Dershowitz as one of her rapists?
Yeah.
I mean, what 15-year-old girl knows that name?
No. And yeah, exactly.
And why would you pick that, I hate to say it, but rather unhandsome guy if you're a 15-year-old girl? Yeah, I had to have sex with this ogre, you know?
Yeah, Greg's in here shaking his head, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just that alone tells me that Dershowitz, you know, his denials are pretty loud, but boy, I'll tell you what, that girl, just her testimony speaks volumes to me.
Yeah, it does to me, too. Craig, what do you think? What do you think should happen with these people?
Well, we're seeing a complete lack of enforcement on a lot of these levels. Once you reach a certain level, look, when I look at Ghislaine Maxwell, I look at her father, look at who her father was, look at the connections, look at the indicators. So to me, that's a strong suggestion on why she's being treated the way that she is and why she may not ever be hauled out on the carpet, so to speak, and we may never learn all of what she was guilty of. I think we, the American people, deserve to see her held to account, but she may be such a source of information that we may never get that satisfaction. They may, and I hope they do. I hope they exploit all of the information that's in her head and in her possession on all of these perpetrators that they entertained over the decades. But it was certainly, whether or not it was state-sponsored, they were certainly engaging in an intelligence operation where they were recording these perpetrators committing sex
felonies,
crimes on children, underaged people. And it's frustrating not to know what's going on. I mean, look, still 56 years later, we still don't know who shot JFK. And there are some things that just need to be brought out in good faith for the American people. So I hope that this is revealed in good faith at some point. But due to who her father was and the nature of intelligence community brownstoning operations, which are the surreptitious filming of these acts, these sex acts with children. Look, a politician or public figure used to have an extramarital affair in order to gain leverage on a blackmail leverage. And then the American populace grew numb to it. And then it grew to where it had to be a homosexual affair to be damning enough to manipulate that politician or public figure. Now it's child sex. And that's been the game for some time. So they will either drug the perpetrators or let them do it on their own if they don't need to be drugged. And once that video or still photo evidence is obtained, then that public figure is owned.
You know,
and so
really,
you and I don't get what we vote for because those people are answering to someone else now.
True.
And that's something that I think all of the American populace deserves to understand and weigh out when we're seeing how these games are played, when we're seeing what courts people are being brought to and what the nature and the history of that court is and what to expect. Like, man, she's never going to get prosecuted there. Those are the ones, you know, supporting her. So Yeah, there's a huge, huge power struggle for control over the United States right now. We're seeing it borne out in all the riots and the looting and all of the chaos are all symptoms. They're all tactics of this subversion campaign to demoralize and destabilize the United States to make us more susceptible to hostile foreign takeover. And the child sex is just another aspect of breaking down our society and gaining control. So it needs to be brought out. A society who is unwitting to the hostility is an easy society to control. So I just hope that a lot of this information is brought out to the public in good faith so that the people are empowered with the understanding of the game that's being played so that we can act and vote in our own best interests.
Absolutely. And I really thought when the Bill Cosby case came out and he was convicted and deserved to be in jail that, oh, it's a breakthrough. They're finally seeing that your status, whether you're a celebrity or financial status or whatever it is not going to matter if you're committing a felony. You know, the law applies to everybody, not just a few.
Yeah, it was nice to see him be held to account for his behavior. I think it didn't resonate any further than it did because he did not appear to be connected to any sort of network. So there was no conspiracy, if you will,
for a wider abuse. I think the people that he abused were adults. They were of age. So, you know, that put him in a little bit of a different category, but you're still, it's sex abuse.
Well, it's very creepy. It's unacceptable.
Absolutely unacceptable.
But had he been part of a network, I think that story would have gone much bigger because people to realize the ramifications of it would have been much more extensive. So now with Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, the hits just keep coming. So the American populace is kind of being jolted awake, the sleeping zombie hordes, if you will, that have been overworked, over-medicated, under-rested, and overstressed, and not able or inclined to face that which is hostile to us. Now, that with these repeated impacts of these stories, I think the people are becoming more alert to the fact that, hey, there are a lot of bad people out there doing a lot of bad things. And this is a more hostile environment than we had understood. And we need to wake up and really stand up against it and fight back in our own best interest because our children are being hunted here in the United States.
And what do you think of, you know, this U.S. Attorney Alex Acosta doing what he did after, you know, Eric... After being said, you know, he said, we're going to lock this guy up and he'll never see the light of day. And all of a sudden, he's given a really sweet deal.
Well, yeah, Alexander Acosta, you know, was the assistant United States attorney in charge of the District of Florida, where Epstein was prosecuted initially for, you know, all of his... rapes of all these kids, and Acosta gave him the sweetheart deal of the century, did not allow the children to come into court and contest the deal or speak to the judge at the sentencing hearing, totally violated the Victims' Rights Act. And it was just this really underhanded, under-the-rug sort of, you know, deal to keep it in the dark and to keep Epstein probably from releasing a whole lot of information. Alexander Acosta became, and this guy's a criminal prosecutor, not even really all that high up in the Southern District of Florida. And all of a sudden he becomes what? Oh yeah. Secretary of Labor under the Donald Trump administration. I mean, that's quite a promotion, you know? And so he's sitting there, a cabinet-level position in the Trump administration, and he's the guy that gave Epstein the sweetheart deal. Now, President Trump, as we know, he's the guy that used to pal around with Epstein, famously had a party with just him, Epstein, and 28 women at Mar-a-Lago. And these were all beauty contestants from all over the world and stuff, just the two guys, him and Epstein, alone at Mar-a-Lago with 28, you know, beautiful young women.
Teenagers.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah. Who knows the age? I haven't been able to determine the age of all those girls, but, you know, one wonders what kind of party Jeffrey Epstein threw for Donald Trump. You know, I mean, how does that work?
Yeah.
And there's a famous photograph with Trump's arm around Epstein declaring what fun Jeffrey was to be with and how he likes
young
women
girls
as much as I do, especially the ones on the younger side. And da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, you start combining that with, and like Craig was talking about earlier, like, you know, bring up the Steele dossier from Russia, where, you know, the famous pee-pee tapes, I think they call them, and golden showers and all that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, it lends a lot of credibility to those reports. I mean, what's going on? What does Putin have on Trump? I mean, what's on tape there? How old were those girls? I've never heard that mentioned.
My understanding with Epstein and Trump is that Trump, there was some sort of incident with Epstein at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort over 15 years ago. And whatever happened there caused Trump to denounce Jeffrey Epstein publicly and never communicate with him again. So I think a lot of people that want Trump out of office like to make that old connection and say, hey, maybe Trump's like Epstein. From my perspective, I don't see that he is. Trump has come out boldly denouncing child sex and pedophilia, saying that those people deserve the death penalty. He posted that on Twitter. And under his administration, there have been more arrests on child predators than any previous administration in U.S. history. So I think he's backed up his stance on that. It seems pretty clear to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure about your last statement on the record bus and all that. I have heard what you're talking about, how he threw him out of Mar-a-Lago over hitting on a young girl there. And that was impressive. And in defense of Trump, I have also heard that he assisted some civil attorneys in giving them information about Jeffrey Epstein. And I heard about that too. And I'm not, you know, and we can bring up Bill Clinton as much as you want, because he was on that airplane who knows how many times. And
yeah,
I've heard a lot about, you know, Bill Clinton for sure. And Prince Andrew. What we're talking about are the power elites of our country are hooked up with this guy. And why can't we have a power elite that is not?
Yeah.
Why can't we have one guy sitting as president or whatever who doesn't have his arm around Jeffrey Epstein, the famous child sex rapist and trafficker, the serial rapist? Why can't we just start fresh?
I want to know who has all these tapes now, because somebody's got them.
Well, Ghislaine Maxwell apparently has copies of everything that Jeffrey Epstein has, and some people speculate that she may have been actually the head of that operation,
the brains.
You know, like my wife says, you may be the head of the household, Craig, but I'm the neck, and the neck turns the head. So that may very well have been what Ghislaine was in relation to Jeffrey Epstein, because his background does not really bring about such a power play, but her family background does indicate that she would have the horsepower and the connections to be a much bigger player.
Yeah, but he came from an average middle class family, didn't he?
Well, he's
did.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I would put it this way, research his background and Epstein, yes.
Yeah, Epstein.
I'm talking about Ghislaine Maxwell's father.
Oh,
though.
Yeah, we know but Epstein was, I think he was like really good at a Ponzi scheme is what.
Yeah, yeah, he was more of a shyster, sure.
Yeah.
A con artist. But speaking of the DAs, now we work with DAs across the country to run joint operations with federal and local law enforcement and arrest child predators. And where we can find DAs that will prosecute child sex crimes, we can do great things. And it's gone very, very well. Some cities, they won't. And it's not, sometimes it's the DA that does not intend to prosecute. Sometimes it's the mayor or even the governor of the state. But we saw a couple nights ago Newt Gingrich on Fox News, and he brought up the point that George Soros is buying district attorneys and putting them in place, ones that will not prosecute these sorts of crimes. So when we're talking about what venue we're going to prosecute some of these, if that venue is selected where there's been a DA that's whose career has been purchased and put in place specifically because they will not prosecute, then that's a level of corruption we cannot sustain. And so there's been quite a bit of that. And
how do you prove that? How do you, like, I think Acosta should be disbarred, but I don't think the American people should have to pay for Trump's personal sex case, whatever's going on. I don't think Barr should be representing him in that. How do you prove that, you know, these people are...
Well, proof is always going to come through a thorough, good faith investigation. You have to weigh out the factual evidence, all of it, and make a final determination in a court of law. So I think that's...
And I'm going to interject real quickly here. I mean, currently we have Trump is the president of the United States of America, and he's a Republican. Soros is a famous Democrat and financer of Democratic causes. But it's the president that appoints district attorneys, not the Democratic Party, who only controlled the House. So the idea that George Soros is buying prosecutors in this country is crazy. It just doesn't make any sense at all. He cannot appoint a federal prosecutor, a U.S. attorney anywhere. I mean, that's Barr and Trump, and that's who is doing that. And it's confirmed by the Senate and so on and so forth. So that's just not happening. But
I didn't say U.S. attorney, but the district attorney influence from George Soros is fairly well known. Newt Gingrich wasn't making things up. He was bringing out a point of fact. And it's pretty widely known that the campaigns and the funding to bring some of these people at different levels, district attorneys across the country, by George Soros is commonly known. So
we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. When our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, Benny White and Sheriff Napier talk about election laws and how campaign ads can get you sued. This is your show, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Craig Sawyer from Vets for Child Rescue and Eric Bauer, an attorney in Tacoma, Washington, featured in I Am Jane Doe. It's very instrumental in getting the Backpage website taken down. Actually, you just had some really good news this past week on a case. Tell the people, our listeners, what you told me. What was it, last week?
Oh, thanks, Sherry. Yeah, what we did is we have been representing a victim who was only 12 years old when she was first advertised for sale on Craigslist in their erotic services subsection. So we have a 12-year-old girl who was sold by her trafficker, her pimp, many, many, many times. I mean, over and over and over. When she was 12, when she was 13, when she was 14, throughout her teenage years on Craigslist erotic services. And that erotic services subsection of Craigslist, there were thousands of victims sold across the hundreds of thousands sold in the United States. It became essentially ushered in an era of sex trafficking that was unparalleled, paved the way for Backpage.com to do what they did. And so we sued Craigslist. They have always prevailed on a legal argument involving a federal immunity statute known as CDA 230. And what we did last week is the judge ruled in our favor. Craigslist moved to dismiss our civil case on behalf of this young girl. And the judge sided with us and is allowing us to forge ahead with our lawsuit, which is great news. And that's the first time that has happened against Craigslist in the United States. And we're excited to get going with that case. And it essentially, it could open the door for thousands of victims to come forward and seek justice against Craigslist. And that's good news for a lot of people.
Yeah, because not everybody who's sex trafficked was in Epstein and Maxwell's care. They had actually a more a first class, I should say, experience compared to what your average person, your average young person experiences. It's really a dirty, ugly, horrible, abusive situation. And the environment is not, you know, it's not a Motel 6. It's just gross.
That was a fantastic contribution that Eric made there.
Yeah.
Because the predators will squirt, if you will, to different platforms. After Backpage was taken down, now it's Craigslist, and they're using all these other apps, and we just have to keep pursuing them in order to safeguard the children. We can't just throw our hands up and say it's too difficult and not fight back. So lawsuits, when they're done effectively, can be a tremendous defense mechanism for the victims. And so, man, we celebrate those kind of wins. That's good work.
Yeah, he's been working diligently for years on trying to change things, and especially in these hotels. They need to be trained. Hotel personnel need to be trained so they know what they're looking at. And you're a part of that, Eric.
Yeah, the case, you're right, and thank you guys very much. I just got to say, we have some of the bravest clients out there. I mean, these girls have been, you know, raped, some of them thousands of times, literally. And they're children, they're kids. I mean, a 12-year-old, the pimp puts her on a quota. She has to have sex with 10, 20 people a day. And she doesn't get to pick who, and she doesn't get to pick how.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the reality. It's awful. And it's enforced by what we call traumatic bonding, an incredible level of violence and drugs and everything else. It's really awful. And that is what you were saying earlier. That's the more common sex trafficking experience, like the much more common sex trafficking experience. I mean, Craigslist and Backpage are responsible for the sale of so many kids across the country. It's just off the charts. And you know, what we see is this real elite sort of level with Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. But what you're seeing for normal Americans, all you need to really do is go online and look, because that's where it's at.
I had a lady ask me about Wayfair. Supposedly Wayfair, the company Wayfair, is into selling.
And I'll just interject, that was complete BS.
Okay, I just wondered if it was one of those urban myths.
It totally is. It's one of those just crazy things that makes zero sense, and it does not happen that way. And the problem I have with weird conspiracy theories like that is they draw attention away from the realities of the child sex trade, which is right in front of our eyes. And no, it's not on some furniture company's, you know,
website.
Serial numbers on their filing cabinets. Yeah, no.
I asked her, you know, where did you get the information? It's all over social media. And, you know, there's a lot of truth out there in social media, but I didn't think this was one of them. I'm just like, I wanted to confirm. Do you know anything about it, Craig?
I looked at it when it was first igniting across social media, and it looked to me like it was money laundering, because they were selling items that quite frankly didn't look very expensive for, you know, over $10,000.
Yeah.
In some cases, or more, $20,000-$30,000 for a vase, or, you know, things like that. So it didn't seem to make sense. So there may have very well been money laundering going on, but again, we won't know without a thorough investigation and investigating all the players involved and weighing out the factual evidence and sorting through it to ascertain what was really taking place there. But the thing that I celebrate about the Wayfair incident is that people are on the lookout now, whereas 2 years ago they weren't.
Yes.
And they're looking and they're saying, are children being harmed here? Let's examine it.
Yes.
And I think sharing it is a good thing, but I was just cautioning people, don't run off onto unfounded theories, because that's where you can, Eric was saying, discredit the real cause. You don't want to bring harm. So run it down, figure out what's really going on there by all means, but don't hang your hat on something that's not founded by factual evidence. And as long as you march forward only as fast as the factual evidence will support, then you'll be on solid ground.
Yeah, you don't want to waste resources either on urban myth of something like that. His resources are scarce. So what do you think should happen with Acosta? Should he be disbarred?
He doesn't look legitimate to me, but I'll let Eric speak more on that one.
With Acosta, well, he was he resigned from the Department of Labor as secretary, as he should have. So he's out of the way now. And that's a good thing. I don't know.
But he still has his license. And I'm like, you know, hey, some people should be disbarred. You know, they shouldn't have their license.
I agree with that.
That attorney, what's her name, from the Black Back Page?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my friend, I want her disbarred. And that judge up in Illinois who is like, well, maybe sometimes an old man likes to have a young girl on his arm. And I'm like, what's up with you, you sicko?
There are some pretty strange attitudes out there that have been, you know, ruining our country for too long. But, you know, back to Ghislaine Maxwell, I'm encouraged by the fact that she has been charged in federal court, and she's looking at some serious mandatory minimums. And the only way legally you can get out of a mandatory minimum, in her case, I think she's got one that's 10 years, and I think she's got another that's 20. And the way typically people get out of that, it's a provision known as 5K1.1, which is cooperation with the authorities. And you've got to be truthful, and you got to tell it all. And so there's a good likelihood that she is telling everything she knows. And she has a lot of information that I think they'd be interested in. So
that'd be more than an hour-long interview, for sure.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I imagine that debriefing would take days and days and would be heavily negotiated, and the timing would be heavily negotiated. And you know, she's being held in solitary confinement. I mean, this is a woman used to a life of luxury, and now she's in, you know, solitary confinement in a nasty jail.
That's for her own protection.
Sure it is. It is. But it's still not fun. And she's not used to things like that. And so there's a lot of psychological pressure on her.
Is she writing a book? She's probably in there writing a book.
She may be.
She's like Maxwell's tell-all.
The
she
key,
should.
The key will be in whether or not the information that they are able to extract from her is followed up on, and all of the prosecutions are made on that network of child predators and child abuse.
We're talking international.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now,
heads of state.
There's some diplomacy involved, and that's going to provide its own difficulties. Generally, there need to be a lot of investigations, and we'd better see a lot of big names coming down from that. So we can see that justice is for all, not just for we the little people.
Yeah, I don't think Prince Andrew will be visiting America anytime soon.
No, he doesn't seem to be visiting much of anything these days. But, Craig, you're spot on with that. And I think just to have some faith in our justice system, and this is such a high-profile case, I would like to see, the news media in on those interviews. Just put it right out in the open, every bit of it. Just let us all know what this woman is saying. Just shine a light right on it. And, let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
it
would be fun. I would watch it.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to do that until after those arrests are made, because they wouldn't want the perpetrators tipped off and skipping country or whatever they may do to prepare to avoid justice. But I think after they are investigated and arrests are made, especially after the court cases are completed and the convictions are made, that those pieces of evidence should be deliberately made to the American people so that we can understand just how vast and how dark this trade is.
And people need to understand that just because, they wear nice clothes and they're in beautiful buildings doesn't mean it's any less disturbing.
These people are absolute reprobates.
Yes.
There's something very wrong when you've got billions of dollars and you can afford literally anything you want. Hookers and blow only go so far, and then they grow numb to it. Then they want to find something that's a little bit more strange and a little more strange to kind of satisfy them. And next thing they're doing the unthinkable to God's most precious and innocent, and it's not okay.
It's not. Do you think Epstein committed suicide?
I do not. Based on the injuries to the trachea, I don't, and the paper sheets that they had, I don't see how he could have caused that level of damage, that level of force with paper upon himself. And, the totality of circumstances there with the staff not being on present on that floor or in his area when they should have been, and the cameras not functioning, and it looks to me like they got to him.
I wonder who.
Well, Craig, it sounds like Craig doesn't believe in a whole lot of coincidences on this thing. it's kind of hard to believe that everything would stack up just like that with this particular case, and where did it happen? Well, it happened in a federal lockup. Who controls the federal lockups? Oh, Attorney General Barr. Who controls him? Oh. And you start looking at that sort of thing, and you just got to wonder. But at the same time, there's a lot of players out there. And
When you think about all the people that were at his islands, at his houses, his ranch in New Mexico, on his private jets, it's just the list goes on and on and on, and we're not talking about just people in America. We're talking about people all over the world, influential people.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, Epstein's in jail. I hope he doesn't talk. Well, let's make sure he doesn't talk. So
there would be a lot of people with motives. And what Craig was saying a little earlier about people investigations and how people would prepare. I mean, these people know if they had sex at Epstein's house with underage girls. The people that did it, they know they did it. They remember. And so, they have to be panicking. They have to be absolutely concerned about what's going on. I'm sure they're concerned about Maxwell's current plight. And, you know, you're talking about a lot of high-powered people, a lot of very rich people, the elites of our society and the elites of the world, it seems. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it that, you know, Prince Andrew couldn't remember. You know, if you were there, you might not remember the name of the person you were in bed with, and that would tell me you were in bed with more than one. But you know you were on that island. You know what you were doing. And the fact that the groundskeeper, was it the groundskeeper, came forward and said, yeah, I was there. I saw him with this woman, and you know, I saw Clinton there. All these people. You know, unfortunately, I mean, it's coming out, and it's going to come out, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. It might hurt, you know, families. I know it's already hurt the royal family. Queen Elizabeth's not happy with her son.
Well, of course she's not. Yeah.
There's a lot of national concern about who may be hurt from this, but let us never forget the ones who are hurt the most.
The kids.
And let's, you know, I encourage everyone to find their moral courage to stand up and back our prosecutors to throw the book at these people. I mean, this is the most horrific abuse, and it's unacceptable. Those that don't commit suicide from the level of trauma that they've endured are in for a lifetime of therapy and counseling to try to heal from it, if ever. And it's not merciful or gracious to let these predators off. The only thing that's just and good is to prosecute them and put them in a cell where they can rape no more.
In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a prosecutor on the show to talk about this and other ways of prosecution and how they go about and why they go about the job that they do. And this is one of the big topics. I'm like, I want to hear what you have to say. How do you defend this person? Well, you know, and I know everybody is entitled to their rights according to our Constitution, but ooh, you know, I would have a difficult time.
It seems like anybody would have a difficult time defending an abuser when they can see the facts of the case. And I, too, appreciate our system that everybody deserves a fair trial. But it does seem like it would be very difficult to defend.
You know, and I think you're right. It would be for a person with the kind of moral courage and heart that you have, Craig, and that Sherry has, and that I have. But here's the reality of that is, you know, when I started these kinds of cases really back in 2000, you know, like 10 years ago, a decade or more ago, what we were doing in this country, our justice system as a whole, what we would do with a 15, 14-year-old girl that has been raped 1,000 times, do you know what we did as a society, as a justice system? We locked her up. We threw her in jail. We called her a hoe. We gave her a criminal conviction for prostitution. That's what we did with a child that's been raped 1,000 times. And so what the defense attorneys do is they take advantage of that mindset and they slut shame the victim. They go after the victim. Oh, you wanted it. This was all you. Da-da-da-da-da. They terrorize her before trial even. They make her not want to show up. And it just takes so much courage for these girls to walk into a courtroom and testify. And the ones that do, boy, they're just the bravest young girls in the world, I think. And, I mean, the shame, the remorse, the guilt that they go through. You know, a child gets raped one time, and Craig was mentioning this earlier, but one rape, a kid will get post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah. You get raped 1,000 times, guess what you have? I mean, they don't have words for it.
Yeah, some of these girls have committed suicide.
Even our own daughter still struggles now. She was raped repeatedly throughout just one night here in Tucson, and it took them 2.5 years to bring him to trial, even though they caught him, thanks to TPD, very early on. But they allowed him to go through 14 public defenders and delaying his trial each time. And those delays were re-traumatizing our daughter because she didn't feel like the system was working for her. So that's kind of what prompted her to serve as a junior decoy agent on one of our operations. And she saw 9 predators get cuffed up right in front of her for work that she had a part in. And that was very healing.
Tell people about your movie.
Yeah, well, you can see that. You can witness that in Contraland, our documentary. And you can view Contraland at contralandmovie.com. It's free of charge. It's a good faith public service alert. It aired to 90 million households in U.S. and Canada on July 25th on Daystar Network. But it's available to everybody. We encourage everybody to watch it and share it. It's an empowering information, and that's what it's meant to be. But it kind of walks you through the nature of child sex trafficking in the United States, things that every American citizen needs to know. So that the court system, unfortunately, it is very traumatizing for the victims. And our daughter was made to be examined by her own predator because he'd fired 14 public defenders and ended up representing himself. So he was allowed to berate our daughter.
That's so wrong.
In a way that everyone was cringing and appalled at for over 2 hours. And she kept her composure, and she spoke the truth, and all the expert witnesses came in, and their factual evidence backed up what she said word for word 100%. So this guy was convicted guilty on all 7 counts, including the aggravating factor. So the system worked for her, but she had a level of support and love around her that not all of these victims do.
Yeah.
And Eric brought up a good point that this is a difficult system in which to fight back. And we do need to revamp. We do need to rethink. Our thought paradigm needs to shift. Anybody under the age of 18 is not capable of being a prostitute. They are a victim because their minds, the frontal lobe and outer cortex of the human brain aren't developed until 23 to 25 years of age. So we do have to look after the little ones. If they've been kidnapped or they've been captured as runaways and manipulated into selling themselves, if you will, it's not what it appears to be. They are still victims, so we need to recognize that.
Tell people about your organization.
Okay, I founded Veterans for Child Rescue to alert the populace on this problem and to fight back directly, which we're doing. And so you can see everything that we're up to on our website, vetsforchildrescue.org. And we've got all of our arrest records, 100% conviction rate listed right on there. Our board of advisors, our platinum level rating for our transparency, all of our financials, and our movie is linked there as well. And you can donate to help fund our operations. We are just a small 501c3 nonprofit org, but we're doing great things with the little amount of support that we have. And we're grateful for everybody who's donating and helping us, who's introducing us to district attorneys across the country, and who's praying for our team and the children out there, and sharing the information to empower the rest of the populace.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and thank you for all the work you're doing. Thank you for your service. You've been amazing, and it's just an honor to know you. And Eric, you're my hero. You're getting those laws changed. You're making, you know, case rulings, and I'm just like, there's no stopping you.
Well, thanks, and thank you, Craig. Thanks for everything you're doing. And Sherry, thanks for everything you're doing to let us speak and inform the population about what's going on. And Craig, I my hat's off to you, and my hat's really off to your daughter. Your family's amazing, and you know, there's just so much heart there. And boy, just keep going, man. Keep going, brother. That you're awesome. Every bit of you. Thanks.
Well, thanks for your contributions as well. You've made some big ones, Eric. I look forward to meeting you in person someday. And Godspeed till then.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
I said, we're going to have, in a couple of weeks, I have a public defender coming on to talk about what they do and why they do it And sometimes it makes you scratch your head going, huh? But there's an explanation for it. Until next week, we'll have Sheriff Napier on and Benny White will come on and we'll talk about campaign law.